Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 8th, 162nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor. It's formal. He ain't coming back. Mark Lovelace.
Yeah, at this point, it's kind of too late.
Yeah.
I'm not dead yet, but, you know.
That train sailed. Well, if you're in Texas, you know, that train could have sailed in the water, in the floods.
Can we?
Sure.
As soon as I said the I'm not dead yet thing, just that, and Jimmy just, I wouldn't want anyone.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't.
All right, restart.
Sorry.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. So at 48.
And I've been saying that for, you know, months when people say, oh, so you're out. No, I'm not dead yet.
Yeah.
So, but I wouldn't want
that one call.
Take that, yeah.
3, 2, 1. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 8th, 162nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor for under 6 months.
Yeah.
Mark Lovelace. Now that
lesser,
it's official.
For the lesser part of a year.
Yeah. That's called the downhill slide, I believe, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Our quote this morning.
Of decreasing relevance.
How's that's that? Right. Okay. Yeah. Walking off into the horizon, shrinking as he goes. This comes from Matthew. Matthew the 7th in the year 75. Quote, by their fruits ye shall know them. Isn't that the truth? As you're heading out on your way out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fruits and the nuts and everything else that's left behind, that's what you'll be known by.
Wheat, the chaff, the whatever.
Yeah, but take your pick, however you want to do it. Is there, with the election now over, and just the federal stuff pretty much, and the legalization out there pending for those of us locally, is there a transitional process that the county has for soups or other department heads? I mean, it would be the same. Mm-hmm. As I can remember some in the past, boy, just opening up the door and come on in and sit right next to me and we'll work together for 3 or 4 months or whenever you're available to. And others who slam the door, lock the door, don't want you anywhere close. I'm going to be there until midnight on the 31st. Then it's your place and I'll have it cleaned out by then. Thank you very much. Get away from me. Two extremes, obviously. But does the county have a transition plan that it tries to put into place to make it easier for everybody?
There is some transitional plan. There are some things that the county does, including sending newly elected supervisors to the new Supervisors Institute, the CSAC, the California State Association of Counties.
Not to be confused with the mental institute that some of them end up in?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that would be the day-to-day job. No. So that happens concurrent with CSAC's annual conference in November, December. And then there's two other sessions happening in like February and March after the person's actually been sworn in and has had an opportunity to serve for a while. So there's three, a multi-day session at the start, I think a two-day session at the start, and then two more one-day sessions. And so there is that, and then varying from cycle to cycle will be how department heads might choose to say, you know, I want to set up an opportunity for you to come, you know, tour my buildings, meet my staff, meet my, you know, my deputies, you know, tour different facilities like, you know, the jail, the juvenile facility, or, you know, just... There are things like that that can happen that aren't really formalized in terms of a process. But what I think you're really getting at is more of how does one, you know, an outgoing supervisor kind of pass the reins over to the incoming supervisor. And I think that really depends on what their, what the circumstances are. You know, if it's...
Drinking from the fire hose hasn't seemed to be a real productive way to transition, and yet some have to.
Yeah.
And it just kind of seems like it would be too easy to have a structure in place that just made, it didn't matter, you know, if you got beat or if you chose not to run or if somebody was appointed. Doesn't matter. The same process is applied.
And that's, you know, when you have the situation of a sitting supervisor that has someone, a challenger in an election that runs against them and wins, you know, certainly that's going to make a more difficult time in terms of, you know, working together for 6 months to hand the reins over?
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Mark Lovelace. Mark, the concept of the transition, it would be, you know, ideally personalities would be extracted out. Okay. Reality says it, that's never going to be the case. You know, if I'm a demonstrative and you're shy, or vice versa, there's probably going to be conflict just because our personalities are going to be in conflict. But is there protocol, perhaps, rather than procedure, to transition?
There's the protocol, I think, would be in an ideal situation, and again, depends on, you know, the nature of the, you know, whether the person's replaced an incumbent who was not planning on stepping out. The protocol would be to set up kind of a regular schedule. Maybe it's once a week or, you know, something like that, to meet, to go over. When I was coming in after I got elected, I would meet with John Woolley once a week, and we'd go over the agenda. I think we were meeting every Monday, and we'd go over the agenda for the next day. And I'd ask him about, you know, things that were coming to mind, and he'd kind of share with me, well, you know, on this one, there's a lot of stuff here, but really this is kind of the question that we're looking at. And this is the part that's for staff. This is the part that's for the board. And, you know, he'd help me figure out what is, you know, our role in it.
How to delineate between poundage and the critical part that you guys would be talking about.
Yeah. You know, and one thing, you know, a lot of what we do, a lot of the stuff on our consent calendar every week is contracts for, you know, federal programs or, you know, state programs or things like this. And they're all standardized form contracts where basically if you want the money, that's only the question. You don't get to change a single word in the contract. There is no ability. You can't look at it and say, yeah, I'm not really happy with this one line here. I'd like to change it. You know, for one, none of us on the board are lawyers. So, you know, we probably aren't the best qualified people to be doing that. But for two, you can't. So getting a sense of, you know, how deep you should be digging into some of these things you know, what the appropriate role is. And so that was something that I had a lot of help with from John Woolley. But then also talking with department heads about things and starting to have, just as I, you know, as any of us do when we're on the board, you know, an issue comes up that's on the agenda, and it's like, hey, you know, I want to call Tom and say, you know, this item, make sure I understand this correctly. You know, is this what's happening here? And is this, you know, what are the options here? And, you know, have those kinds of phone calls to just kind of be able to,
kind of come up to speed.
Yeah.
Initially.
Yeah. Because every meeting you've got, you know, 30 or 40 things on your agenda that are all over the map. And no matter how well prepared you are for this job coming in, no matter how much time, you know, like for me, I'd been working on a wide range of county issues, including, you know, the general plan, affordable housing, economic development, infrastructure, and funding for infrastructure, and a lot of stuff. And I thought, oh, I'm really, really well versed in this. And then I start looking at these agendas, and there are so many things that I had absolutely zero, you know, not even the most basic knowledge of going in. And so you really have to, you can't say these are the handful of issues I'm going to deal with. You can't just ignore the rest. You've got to dig in and figure out, again, what your role is on all of these kinds of issues.
One of the things that I have heard from folks over the 34 years of doing this thing, is they'll come in, and one of the challenges is to know how detailed do you need to get. Mm-hmm. At what point do you make the determination, staff knows, I'm going to rely on staff, versus whistling through the graveyard and you accept everything that staff says. That mm-hmm. that equilibrium, that balance, that effectiveness or efficiencies that one has as being one of the five and trying to find that sweet mm-hmm. spot. How long does that take somebody, or is that an issue by issue and it's never there?
That's going to vary depending upon personalities involved and the trust levels with staff. You know, if there's, I'd say for each of us, you know, there's certain department heads that we, you know, any one of us might work with more closely and might have, you know, a higher degree of personal trust that if, you know, if Tom says, you know, this is so, then, yeah, I'm good with it. Or if, you know, if our CAO says X, I totally, you know, the trust is absolutely there. And there may be others where, you know, that's not the case.
You may want to look into it a little bit closer.
Yeah. But it does bring up a really important issue, which is that, you know, the fundamental relationship of board to staff, because, you know, we're all lay people. You know, as I know I've said on here before, you know, the only four qualifications for this job are: one, you have to live in the district; two, you have to be over 18; three, you have to have a pulse; and four, you have to be able to convince 50% plus one of the voters to vote for you. Other than that, you don't have to know a single thing about the job, about any area of policy. You don't have to have any professional qualifications. But our staff, our department heads, and the vast majority of our 2,000 employees are all doing what they're doing because they're actually good at it, because they actually studied it, they got a degree, they got a certification, they got a master's, they're licensed, they're engineers, they're planners, they're administrators, they're nurses.
Or they got 50% plus one on the hiring committee, which may take more talent than some of the other stuff you've talked about.
But they're positions that actually require, you know, specific qualifications. And so it really, you know, when you're in that decision-making position, it gives you kind of a little pause in who am I to question these recommendations. Where I think it really comes into play is when you have something that an item that maybe is reviewed by a number of different departments, because it has, you know, a public works aspect to it, it's got a personnel aspect, it's got a budgetary aspect, a legal aspect, and you're getting differing opinions.
That's what makes it fun. Yeah. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mark Lovelace. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redick. It's interesting for me, Mark, to hear as you're talking about recommendations, presentations, reports that come to you from staff, certified XYZ, and, you know, all the funny letters afterwards. But I would tend to think that the electeds are not, you're not there to be the expert. You're there to control the cat herd of experts and to get kind of, okay, here's where we're going, guys. And reel in that one and reel in that other one and kind of keep the focus going down the road rather than going all over the place in circles. Do new supervisors get it? Do they get that it's a long-term plan and you're not supposed to be getting your fingernails dirty and you don't cross the lines and get into departments. You talk and all the things that management does in corporations that are the size of 2,000 employees, not a corporation size of two.
Well, I think you're really touching upon one of the fundamental things that I think sometimes gets missed in this job, which is that when you're on the board of supervisors, or if you're, you know, on a city council or similar situations, you do not make decisions in specific instances. That as a policymaker, you do not make specific decisions. Other than, you know, other than hiring our department heads, we do not make any decisions about hiring or firing any other employees in the county. We do not make decisions about what any individual employee gets paid. We do not make decisions about advancing someone up the pay scale. We don't do these kinds of things. What we do is we set policy. And in this case, and using this as an example, we negotiate a MOU with each of our bargaining groups, AFSCME being the biggest one, HGSO, of course, also in there. And that becomes the rules. And we then pass that along to our HR department and our department heads and says, this is how you're going to handle all personnel issues. You know, here's the rights that the employees have. Here's the, you know, pay scale. Here's all of these different things. You implement this. But we do not get involved, at least we're not supposed to get involved, in the specific instances.
And
we
set policy. And that's got to be tough for the new guy.
We set policy, and the staff is responsible for implementing that policy.
How tough was it as Mark, the new kid on the block, not to get involved? Because I would think that there's the extremes. I get it, okay, and you're totally laissez-faire, which you can never really be 100% or should be. Or on the other side, I want to be there at the negotiating table. No, that's not your role. Yeah.
It's, I like to think that I did fairly well and have done fairly well in that of not getting down into the weeds. Giving another example, with public works issues. You know, everyone, you know, you got a pothole in your street, you call your supervisor, right? Well, you know, none of us are aware of all of the potholes and all of the road condition surveys and everything else that's going on in our district, you know? And so we might, you know, say, yeah, I've got a couple of people on such and such street calling and complaining about their road, and I want to pass that along. But we don't have the context to be able to say where that fits with all of the other 4 million potholes. And I know, Tom, if you're listening, there are not 4 million potholes out there. But but there's only 3 million. But we don't have the context to be able to say, you know, this is the most important, you know, 200-foot stretch of pavement that needs to be serviced. But there's an implicit direction when you call, you know, when any one of us calls a department head, even if you say, Tom, I'm just passing this along. I got a phone call. I'm not trying to tell you how to allocate your resources. I know you've got a tough job out there, but I just want to let you know that I'm getting some complaints on this. There is implicit direction in that.
Things change.
Yeah. And so that takes away from a policy-based approach and gets into, you know, where Tom is looking at, I've got X amount of money, I've got X amount of employees, I've got, you know, all these miles of roads, and I've got to allocate them as best as I can to maintain the roads as best as possible.
Well, let me ask you, and that same scenario, but instead of a phone call that you get, you get an email, and now you forward it. Now, your name is still there, but you're not making comment to it. You're just passing it along.
Yeah.
Does that take a less onerous?
What I've found is that I have to go overboard in talking with any, you know, department head or staff member when I pass something along, you know, to let them know that I'm just conveying this information. I'm not trying to direct you on this.
So you put an FYI on it,
yeah,
and forward it on. That's not neutral enough.
Well, it usually it doesn't have to be with each specific email that you forward, but to make sure that, you know, when I'm having conversations with the department head, you know, that they get to understand that I'm doing that, and also understand that I'm telling the constituents when they call me, you know, thanks for letting me know about the potholes on your road. I'm going to pass this along to Public Works, but you need to understand they've got 1,300 miles of road that they got to take care of. And so I'll have to trust Tom to figure out the best way, or Art in the roads division, to figure out the best way to fit that into their route in terms of, you know, when they're patching these roads or that road.
So it's more a push back to the contact rather than...
The way I take it is every time I get a phone call about a specific instance like that, it's a sign that the policy solutions aren't working as well. The programmatically, the roads aren't being attended to well enough. And that if I then get in there and say, well, I want to tell Tom to go fix this pothole and that pothole, that's just going to divert resources away and make it harder to maintain everything. So,
you know what I'm surprised in that kind of scenario? That those who are willing to do that, to insert themselves, have got the time to be able to do that. Because it's not just the once a day or once a week. It's hourly. Mm-hmm. How do you have that much time to be able to do that and still get done the stuff that you're supposed to get done so that you're able to execute your job responsibilities properly? Well, it just doesn't seem like that the two can coexist.
Yeah. You know, so again, two different ways of looking at it. One is you get a call about, you know, potholes on, you know, Freshwater Road or...
Make a buttermilk.
I mean, buttermilk, yeah.
Hey, I found some asphalt there. I'm mad.
Though buttermilk is in the city of Arcata, so that's... whichever, you know, pick a road. And, you know, you could call and say, you know, here's a road that needs some attention. And, you know, I do pass those along. I want to, you know, do that. But I also am looking at, okay, so if I'm getting a lot more of these calls, it means that something's not happening right. We're not getting stuff allocated right. So there's got to be more of a programmatic solution here. And maybe we need to talk about, you know, do we need more, you know, more funding to be going towards roads? You know, if these are the calls I'm getting from folks and I'm not getting calls about needs for, you know, yeah, deputy sheriffs or, you know, things like that, then, you know, to me, that's saying that when we, you know, look at something like Measure Z, this is a public safety issue that I'm hearing from people, is the roads in their neighborhood are unsafe. And so that's going to weigh on me where I do have a policy decision to make. But it, you know, gets me out of, you know, trying to direct staff and tell them which potholes to fill.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:45. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Final segment this morning with Mark Lovelace. Mark, was it a week and a half ago? I guess it is.
Yeah.
Wow. There was the memorial for Jimmy Smith. You had an opportunity to have some interaction with him, not as much as perhaps you would like or would have liked to have had, but, you know, things go on. What do you remember of him?
Jimmy, I got to work with Jimmy from the outside when I was still an advocate on things, and he was always responsive. He was always polite and respectful. And then I got to work with him for 4 years on the board. And the thing that I remember most about Jimmy, recall best, is that when I was on the board with him, there's the sense that it was a 2-2-1 split with Jimmy in the middle.
It was a two-sided battle, 2-2-1.
Yeah, and that Jimmy would perpetually be the one in the middle on any kind of anywhere there was division on the board, and that. But the last thing he would ever do was to just say, "Well, then I'm going to land over here and make it a 3-2 vote." When he was in that position, what he would do is almost back himself out of the conversation and say, "No, you four have to figure it out. You four are going to have to work together because I'm not going to cast my vote until I see that you're able to come to a little better understanding and able to." And typically what it was is if you had a sense of where he was going to land eventually, the folks on the winning side had to reach across to the folks on the losing side and say, okay, what can we do to better accommodate your concerns, your issues, and try to bring you into that fold a little bit? And so he would, you know, rather than just landing over here and saying, you know, this side wins, that side loses, he'd kind of just literally hold off on voting or even saying where he's going to land until the other four folks have been able to come to much better agreement. And I think it was just a masterful art that he had, and it was, you know, just speaks to who he was, that he wanted everyone to get along.
Fitting tribute.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop with Mark Lovelace. Join us tomorrow for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.